It's a zechus and an honor. Here we are, Parshas Vayechi, the end of Parshas Bereishis. And really one of the highlights of my week is this shiur to discuss with you all the different inyonim of the Parsha. And we're coming to a chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek. As we're finishing up a Bereishis, so many lessons we learn from all the Parshas. And really, I want to thank all of you for being able to come and able to get involved in the Parsha Shiurim and people that are listening online. Also, again, I love feedback. Heard some good feedback last week. The Torah begins, Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. And Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim, Sheva Esrei Shana. 17 years in Mitzrayim. Vayechi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav. And these were the years of Yaakov, his life, Sheva Shanim, V'arbayim, U'meyat Shana. And he lived 147 years. Says Rashi, the famous Rashi, right in the beginning, Vayechi Yaakov, Lama Parsha Zus Stuma. Why was this Parsha? Why is this Parsha closed? There's no Parsha breaks. Lefisha Kevon Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu. Once Yaakov passed away, Nistamuinehem, the eyes of Klal Yisrael, the Libon Shel Yisrael, and the heart of Klal Yisrael, Mitzaras Hashibud, because of the suffering of the enslavement, Shetchilu Lishabdam, because the Egyptians began to enslave them. Says Rashi Dorachir, another explanation, Shebikesh Ligalos Esakets. The Gemara is found in Psochim. I'm actually having schus to learn this perek. Daf Nunvav. The Gemara tells us that Yaakov wanted to reveal the end to his sons. Then Nistami Menu, but it was closed off from him. What is Rashi talking about? Question one. First of all, very interesting. Vayechi Yaakov. It says, and Yaakov's, right? The parsha is called Vayechi. And he lived. And this is the parsha where Yaakov died. Also, we see this by Chaya Sara. When Sari Menu died, it's also called Chaya Sara. And we all know the famous Chazal that say that Tzadikim, they live on. Yaakov Avinu Lomes, Yaakov Avinu's Neshama didn't die. But still, what's going on here? How come this Parsha is Stuma? Says Rashi, because when Yaakov died, then the Tzara's, the enslavement of Egypt, was down. What does that mean? It didn't happen so fast afterwards. It took a long time. And then they were enslaved. But on a deeper level, what's going on? And furthermore, what's this Gemara talking about? What did Yaakov want to reveal? What was he stopped from? What did he say? The Gemara says that he said Shema Yisrael. We spoke about yesterday, last week, about Shema Yisrael. We spoke about how you have to channel that love and bring it to Hashem. Actually, I spoke in Yeshiva. And they like the vort. They said it's an emistic of vort. They liked it. That again, it's hard. Because again, we have a physical body. And it's hard sometimes to channel everything to Hashem. He said Shema Yisrael. And then he was going to reveal the cakes. And he was going to reveal to them. And then what happened, says the Gemara, he said Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Li'olam Va'ed. But he said it very quietly. What happened? Why did he say quietly? What was the give and take? He was going to reveal the end. He wasn't able to. That's question one. What does it mean, Nistamu Einehem? The eyes and the heart were closed. Why was that? Question two. We are told of the whole story of Menashe and Ephraim. Very interesting. The Achronim, Rav Salvechik, was very found. This is one of the first times in Chazal that we see a grandchild learning with a grandfather. Again, we know that there's some interaction between the Avos and their grandchildren, but this is the first time in Chazal that we see Ephraim was learning with Yaakov. He was Chavrusa with his grandfather. And we have the whole Maisa. The whole Maisa with Yosef, and he's bringing his sons, he's bringing Menashe, and he's bringing Ephraim to get a bracha. And we know, obviously, Menashe is older. And Menashe is older, and he seemingly says, you're going to get this bracha. And then the switch of the hands, and he gives the bracha, and then Yosef says, Dad, you messed up. And we know that Chazal tell us, which some people have the minog, beautiful minog, to give your children brachas. Some people just give the brachas on Yom Kippur, a very emotional bracha, coming into Judgment Day. Our lives are on the line, and you give the bracha of each of you, Shemayim, and you should be like Menashe and Ephraim. And some people have the minog of giving that bracha every single week, right? We say for the daughters, we say Kesara, Rivka, Rachel, Velea. And for the boys, we say Menashe and Ephraim. And everyone, whoever's going to talk in this week's parasha, if you hear any drushas, I'm assuming they're going to talk about this. It's like these classic questions. Right? Sometimes we give the classic questions, sometimes we go different avenues. But why? I understand that the mothers, we say, Sara, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And why is it when we give the brachos to the sons, we say, Menashe and Ephraim. You should say, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe. Why specifically are we giving the brachos of Menashe and Ephraim? Also, the bracha, it switched. The Yaakov gave the bracha, and then Yosef said to him, hey, Dad, what's going on? And then he said another bracha. What's going on here? What is going on? Why in the world do we give the bracha of Menashe and Ephraim? Question 3. We know that there are a lot of brachas. Again, the first part of the parsha talks about the relationship between Yaakov and his grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim. And then Yosef HaTzadik is given a double portion, right? He's given over Menashe and Ephraim. They were like two shvatim. And in Pasuk Chav Aleph, in Perek Memches, Pasuk Chav Aleph, it says, Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef. Right? As we spoke about last week, that sometimes Yaakov is called Yisrael, and sometimes he's called Yaakov. We mentioned, perhaps, that when he's called Yaakov, it's his own personal suffering. And over here, he's on a national level. Yisrael is a national level. Sharei Kel, I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, Vayomer Yisrael, Yosef, Hinei Anochi Neis. Listen, I'm going to die. Vahaya Elokim Yulachem. Hashem's going to be with you. V'heishiv etchem el eretz avoseichem. You better make sure. You better make sure that you bring me back. V'ani v'sasi l'cho Shechem. And I'm going to give you Shechem. I'm going to give you one more portion than your brothers. I'm going to give you Shechem. Rashi says that I'm going to give you one extra portion. And he says, and we know Shechem. Shechem obviously was with Shimon and Levi. They took over Shechem. The whole Maisa with Dina. That they took Dina and Shimon and Levi took matters into their own hands. Which they do get scolded by Yaakov later. Asher lakachti miyad. That I took from the hand of Amori, from the Amorites, Becharvi ubekashti. That I took it with a sword, and I took it with my bow. And Uncle says that what does this mean, with the sword and with my bow? And Uncle says, Besalosi, with my tefillah ubaosi, reaching out. And so many Achronim, the great Meshech Chachma, the Meir Simcha from Divinsk, the Briskarov. So many people want to know, what does this mean? What does it mean? Again, he gave over Yosef Shechem an extra portion, because Yosef seemingly was the Bechor from Rachel. She had two children, right? Switching of the beds. He was a Bechor. Question is, did the brothers ever know about that in the whole Maisa? Did they ever know? There's a lot of questions in the whole story of the brothers and Yaakov and Yosef. You know, did Yosef ever tell his father exactly what happened? What did Yaakov actually know happened? There are a lot of details. Midrashim talk about it a little, but it's very unclear exactly what happened. If they really found out the exact, there's one Midrash that says that Yaakov and Yosef didn't even see each other in Mitzrayim. That he was in Mitzrayim for 17 years and they didn't see. Why? What's the Midrash saying? Because Yosef was afraid he was going to reveal something to his to his father about what his brothers did. Right? It was such a crazy miser. They threw him in a boar. They almost wanted to kill him. And he was afraid. He didn't want to embarrass them. The last week's parsha, again, we didn't speak about it so much. But there were so many drushim talking about how Yosef just didn't want to embarrass his brothers. Imagine that happens to one of us. You know what I'm saying? We do a little more than just someone trying to embarrass us. You tried to throw me in a pit. There were snakes and scorpions there. You sold me. What were you doing? But again, Yosef, as we've spoken about a lot, about the Siyata Dishmaya, and Hashem loves him, and he loves all of us. But it says over here, Bechari Ubakashti. It says, with my sword and my bow, and again, as Uncle says, Bisalosi Ubausi. With my tefillah. What does this have to do with anything? Question four. Yaakov calls all the brothers over. And he says, Esifu v'agilucho, peregmentes. Come, I'm going to call them, I'm going to sit with you, I'm going to tell you things. I'm going to tell you. And again, that's the chazal, that the Shekhinah came from him, and he was about, and then all of a sudden the Shekhinah departed, and he was about, and he was going to tell him all the different things. There's a Medrash, and the Medrash found in Mishlei. The Medrash says, Medrash Tanhuma, says in Mishlei, amazing. It says that we know, a lot of the brothers, if you look through again, it's difficult, the wording's hard, look through an art scroll or in English, there's a hard word in, that if you look at the brachas, a lot of the brachas, again, there are a lot of great things going on here, there are a lot of quality, but there's a lot of rebuke, there's a lot of criticism going on. And the Medrash says that since Reuven, Shimon, and Levi received Taichacha, they received rebuke, therefore, says the Medrash, in the beginning of Parsha Shemos, their names were obviously included. And furthermore, another Medrash. The Medrash says, Rashi brings down in Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, I think. Rashi says, amazing, Rashi says, that we know Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life gave also rebuke to Klal Yisrael, and he gave him all the brachas of Zos HaBracha. And Yaakov at the end of his life gave brachas. Says in a fascinating Medrash. I always was perplexed by this kasha. The Medrash says, because if Yaakov gave Reuven this musr when he was alive and when he was younger, then Reuven might have switched and went to Esav. So, two questions in this. We'll call it 3A, sorry, 4A and 4B. First of all, criticism. Yaakov was giving them criticism. And therefore, that's why they were included in the list. You would think the opposite. When a person gets criticism, no one likes criticism, right? We don't like criticism. What was that Medrash saying? And furthermore, what does that mean? Reuven, these Shvatim were the Gedolim. These Shvatim were great. And we don't even understand. And I remember, my parents were just here having a conversation with my mother. She wanted to understand. What exactly happened? The brothers, you know, we have a limited view. These were the Gedolim. They weren't, you know, some stom guy from the subways. These were the Gedolim. What exactly, what they thought, why did they think they should kill Yosef? Again, the whole perushim on that. Maybe they really thought that Yosef was Mori B'Malchus, that he was trying to take away the kingship from Yehuda. They didn't realize the greatness of Yosef. Maybe, again, they didn't know the story of the switching of the beds, that really Yosef was supposed to be the Bechor. Again, a very fascinating, but these were big people. And says the Medrash that if Reuven got rebuked during his life, he would have went to Esav. What? What does that mean? And lastly, as we end off Bereishis, as the Ramban writes, Sefer HaYoshar, how to be a good person, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, that everything we learn from the Avos and all these stories, because it still applies to our lives, it really does. All these ups and downs, the Yosefs and the Yaakovs and all the struggles that we have. And still, Chazal tell us, different Gemaras and Brachos and Psachim, different Gemaras and Sanhedrin, that Yaakov had a house that was complete. All of the family was on. And Avram had a Yishmael. The Arabs that still want to kill us. A Yitzchak had an Esav, not Jewish. Esav Sonias Yaakov. He hates us. They still hate us. So many people hate us. But Yaakov had the complete house. How did Yaakov do it? How did it happen? Again, obviously, siyata d'shmai. But how did he have this complete house? How did he end off with such a amazing... We're from the Shiftei Ka. We're from the Shvatim. So again, a lot of questions, a lot of ideas. We're going to try to build one yesod, one foundation. Again, a little breaks off a little. Hope I don't go too long whenever I do say that. That means I go the longest. I see in your eyes, you're like, I'm out of here. I hear that, okay? If you're listening, I'm recording. Just turn it off. I hope not. I don't know. I don't know who's listening. If you're listening, tell me. I want to know. It makes me, again, you know, I don't need to feel good, but it's always good to hear people listening to the Torah. Get involved. I want to, you know, hear feedback. Let's go slow. So again, let's just review, because clarity, as I speak about all the time, we need clarity. And so when you're sitting on the bus, most people in America don't have buses, you're sitting in the car, you give someone a ride, or you just, you're like, you want to give someone a nice Dvar Torah, you need clarity. Now you start stumbling in your words and be like, yo, what's going on with this guy? Question. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, first question. What in the world? Why Nistamwe Nehem? Yaakov's dying and now that leads to the Shibud of the Mitzrayim? What's the connection? Question two. Why Menashe and Ephraim? Why are we giving brachos? It's a good question. We give brachos all the time. Sometimes we don't ask why. Why are we giving Menashe and Ephraim? And by the girls, it's Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Why? What's going on there? Question three. Bechayr v'yivakashti. When Yaakov gave over Yosef the extra portion of Shechem, Ukla says that he gave it, Dora says, Becher with a sword, and Bakashi with a bow and arrow. And then Ukla says it's talking about tefillah. What does that have to do with anything? And question four. What's this whole idea of rebuke? Why did rebuke make the brothers great? You would think the opposite. And why if Reuven got the rebuke, maybe when he was younger, he would have went to Esau. And lastly, sorry I'm talking so fast, but lastly, why was Yaakov Zoche? What was it all about Yaakov? What was it all? What was his chinuch? What did he give over to the brothers that created Shiftei Ka? So let's go slow. Says the Gevaldik Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Gevaldik Yesod. And again, we all have to work on this, and we all have to work within ourselves to become great. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in the beginning of Shemos, do you know what it means, Nistamu Einehem? Why, when Yaakov died, that Nistamu Einehem, says Or HaChaim? Because Klal Yisrael's chashivas, their importance went down. They felt like they were nothing. They felt that there's nothing, there's not so much greatness. Yaakov dies, and then the brothers die. And then Yosef dies, the Melech, the Viceroy, who saved Mitzrayim, dies. And their chashivas, their importance went down. They felt like they were nothing. They felt that they couldn't accomplish. They felt they were nothing. And because of that, the Mitzrim took them over. We see a major, major, major yesod here. And the yesod is that we all need to look within ourselves. We all need to realize how great we are. Yeah, we have certain things and we have certain traits that bring us down sometimes, but those traits are not us. We have a beautiful neshama. We have a beautiful soul that has this relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu, that He's given us so much godless, so much stuff. And just like a person is wearing clothing, no one will tell you that that clothing is that person. You're wearing the clothing, but you could just take off the clothing. You could change your clothing. Our character traits do define who we are in a way, but sometimes we are missing the hidden essence of ourselves. The Chovos HaTalmidim, the Rebbe, Piyatznesa Rebbe, of course I learned from some of the Bachram in the morning, Chovos HaTalmidim, and he, right in the beginning, a beautiful Sefer, translated into English, right? it was found in the Holocaust, he was killed in the Holocaust, and he writes that a lot of times we don't see the inner beauty within ourselves. And we just look at the problems, and we look at what I can't do. And we don't give ourselves the pat on the shoulder of what we are doing good. But a person needs to look deep inside and see all the greatness that he's doing. And a lot of times we limit ourselves. A lot of times we tell ourselves we can't do it. But we can do anything! The only person that is stopping us from doing anything is ourselves! And yes, we might have failures. And yes, we might not accomplish right away. But the minute that we view ourselves as nothing, then nistamu einayhem, then our eyes are closed. That's what the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says. When Yaakov died, there was such greatness in Mitzrayim that came because Yaakov was there, the great Gadol Hador. And when the brothers died, then we started to feel like we're nothing. And we said we can't do it. That's what it means, Nistamu Einayhem. That the heart was closed. What's this whole back and forth? What's the whole back and forth between Yaakov and Yosef with Menashe and Ephraim? Why are we giving the brachas of Menashe and Ephraim? So a lot of different answers. Everyone can come up with their own answers. A couple answers. One answer, the classic answers. One answer is that they were in Mitzrayim, the Tumadika land. They were in the land that was such craziness. And still, they didn't fall. Still, Ephraim was able to learn with his grandfather. Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe represented the idea of continuing. And Ephraim is more on the Ruchnius level, on the spiritual level. And Menashe and Ephraim didn't fall from society. Says some Gedolei Achronim, we're in the Golus now. And yeah, Baruch Hashem, we're back in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't have the Mashiach yet. So you know why we say Menashe and Ephraim? Because we say we want to be like Menashe and Ephraim. Even though we're in the Golus, and even though we're in the Mitzrayims. We're not there yet. We want to be like Menashe and Ephraim. We don't want to be affected from society. That's one answer. Another answer, if you look throughout all the operations, it's crazy, all the fighting within the families. This is the first time. Look, all the fighting in the Bechor of the firstborn. The fighting of the Yaakov and the Esavs. The fighting of the Yitzchak and the Ishmaels. The fighting of the firstborn, the Cain and the Hebel. All this jealousy. The brothers. We're still suffering because of what the brothers did to Yosef. This is the first time at the end of Bereishis that Yaakov switches the hands and Menashe is okay with it. Menashe is okay with it. He doesn't have the jealousy. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him because he was strong within himself. You know why we give the bracha of Menashe and Ephraim? Because we want unity, starting obviously within the family relationship and the family dynamic, and then going bigger. We want unity within Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of strife, sometimes even the most in Klal Yisrael. Yaakov wants to reveal the end of the day, says the Gemara, Sachem Daf Nun Vav, and he's not able to. And he says Shema, and then he says Baruch Shem. Why is he saying Baruch Shem? What is going on here? Rav Asher Weitz writes beautiful in his Sefer, one of the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael. He says it's beautiful. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us in Daf Yud Gimel Mabez that we know that we have these seraphim, we have these amazing celestial angels. So it's very fascinating.
that Yeshayahu, when he's describing these seraphim, he says that they have six wings. And later on with Yechezkel, he describes them as having four wings. The Gemara explains that the reason why Yeshayahu HaNavi describes him as six wings, because that was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they only have four wings. Again, this is a Gemara found in Chagiga, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Comes along the hill of the Arizal, and the Arizal says that the six words are Baruch Shem Kivon Machuso Liolom Ba'ed correspond to the six wings of the Seraphim. Says Yud Gimel Magon that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the two middle wings of the Seraphim represent Kavod Malchuso. As we know, we say in Ashrei three times a day. It says in Tehillim, found in Kuf Memhei Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kavod Malchuso Yomeru Ugvurascha Yidaberu. They shall speak the glory of your kingship and tell of your might. And the Ben Ish Chai explains that in the future everyone will see this great glory, the Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuso Liolom Ba'ed. So comes along Rav Asher Weiss and he explains beautiful. Yaakov Avinu wanted to be Megala the Kates. He saw all the struggles of Klal Yisrael. He saw everything in front of his eyes. He saw the Holocaust. He saw the pogroms. He saw the greatness also. He saw the Beis HaMikdash. He saw everything. He saw the Shekhinah. And he wanted to reveal. But then it was taken away. Hashem said, no, I don't want to reveal. That's not the tachlis. And he said, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolom Ba'ed. Says the Gemara, why did he say it quietly? Says the Perushim, why did he say it quietly? So one answer is that we would say it quietly. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. Another answer is that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he saw Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolom Ba'ed, that the angels were saying it. So in order to not make the angels jealous, we say it quietly. But the whole tachlis is to bring in Baruch Shem Kivor Malchuso Liolom Ba'ed. So when we say Shema every day, twice a day, we say it quietly. Do you know why? Because we're not there yet. We're not there. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Hashem. As we spoke about last week, we spoke about meeting this year, that Hashem, you're with us in a practical way. But still, we don't have your Malchus 100%. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet. So we say, Baruch Shem Kivod, we want it so badly. But we say it quietly. Yaakov was telling the brothers, is telling Klal Yisrael, that we need to get to this level. We need to get the Malchus. And I think we're learning from this Ephraim and Menashe. I'm trying to connect this. Why? Because Ephraim and Menashe represent the Achdus, the two brothers of the Achdus. I heard a phenomenal pshat, and that may be even why by the Imos. What do we say? We say Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Rachel and Leah also were sisters. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that Rachel gave over the simon and the signs to Leah, not to embarrass her. There was also some type of Achdus. The Achdus of Klal Yisrael. The Achdus of coming together. That's what we're missing. We're missing that. And what about the last couple of questions? What does rebuke mean? What is rebuke? Why did Reuven and Shimon and Levi learn from the rebuke? Why, if Reuven got the rebuke earlier, maybe he would have went off. Chas v'shalom, whatever that means. And why were the brothers, the Shiftei Kos, so complete? So if you look through all of the brachas, a lot of brachas, and there's some criticism in them, and there's some amazing things talking about all their greatness, Yaakov Avinu was able to give every single son exactly what he needed. He was able to give chinuch to the highest level. This child needed that, he got that. This child needed that, he got that. But the whole purpose is to bring out the greatness, to bring out the potential, to bring out the ability to strive. Just like what we said in the beginning, that we lost our chashivas, we lost our importance. Yaakov is instilling to his children the idea that you're always important. So what's criticism? I hate criticism. We don't like criticism. But there's something called constructive criticism. Constructive criticism means that a person does something wrong and he gets criticized. So again, if it's coming from a place that you think that the person's trying to put you down and they're going at you, then you're not going to accept the criticism. Usually the human mind won't accept that. You're telling me that? You do this, 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 this. But if a person builds within himself this greatness, if a person says, wow, you know, I am great. This person might be criticizing me, but maybe he's saying something that I could work on myself. That's constructive criticism. But the stepping point, the starting point is that you need to have the chashivas. If you have the chashivas that I'm great, then when someone gives you a criticism, you could take it two ways. You could either say, wow, I'm not listening to that guy. Again, but don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. Maybe you could build yourself more. Just because he's maybe saying something to you, we always could work on our midos. We could always be better. Reuven, when he was younger, says from Nevinsal, that Reuven, when he was younger, he was developing himself, and he wasn't fully there yet. So if he heard criticism, he wouldn't maybe would have been able to take it. And then he would have went to Esav. That's why Yaakov had to tell him at the end of his life, when he's complete, when he's a gadol, when he's a big person. So now he's going to learn from the criticism. It's very important. But I think step one is that we have to show ourselves and believe in ourselves. Again, we take things personally. We all do. And no one has a right, which we've spoken about before, no one has a right to put us down. You're not Hashem. No one's Hashem. There's no reason. I gave a whole shmooze to my guys this week that you can't. If you think it's going to hurt someone, if your statement is going to hurt someone, even if you think it's a funny joke, it's not worth it. The expense, the pain of a person to hurt them, why would you do that? Just because you want to make people laugh? Just because, but why? Don't hurt him. If there's a doubt, then don't do it. And we'll be held responsible for our actions. But the receiving person that gets it, he could have two responses. He could just say, oh, look at me, I'm nothing. And this person just reinforces that to me. Or he could say, I am big. I am huge. I can do so many things. And I'm going to take that rebuke. And I'm going to make myself greater. Why was Yaakov able to pass on to all his children? Because he looked into each one of them. And he saw each one as godless. Each one as great. And they were all different. And some of them misused some of their personalities. And he told them about it. Pachas kamayim. You're just running like water. You're just letting your emotions flow. You need to be in charge of yourself. Like he says to Reuven. Says the Meshech Chachma. But all of this, Becherev ubekeshes, Becharvi ubekashti. Why? Because we speak about it all the time, but it's true. Again, we can have a lot of shiurim on tefillah. I get emails about people working on tefillah, and I'm working on tefillah with my shiurim. What's a cherev? A cherev is a sword. It's more confined. What's a keshes? Keshes is a bow. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that there's tefillah b'tzibor. There's the minyanim three times a day, which hopefully we all go to, you know what I'm saying? And then there's tefillah b'yachid, but even you could have a, Yochid in your tzibur, the Shema Koleinu.
The Gemara tells us you could reach out to Hashem in Shema Koleinu.
But there's a Yochid and a tzibur. Says the Meshech Chochma. Cherev represents the confined, being close. You could only go so far with this sword. You could only reach out so far. It's more confined. But it's there. That's Tefillah B'Tzibur. The power of the Tzibur. And we have to link ourselves to Tzibur's. But then there's the Kayach of the Yachid. Like a Keshes, a bow. The more I pull back. How do you pull back the bow? To the heart. The more you let it go, says the Meshech Chochma Beautiful, the farther it will go. The more strength you put into it, the farther that arrow will go. That's what tefillah is, biyachid. Then when the more I go back, and I take my tefillah and bring it to the Ribbono Shalom, the more it will be accepted. Becharvi ubekashti. They're both important, the cherev and the keshes. Let us take our tefillahs and push them back. Let us work on ourselves. Let us show ourselves how great we are. Don't be nistamu einayim. Don't let our hearts be closed. A lot of times we beat ourselves up. We need to show ourselves how great we are, the potential we have. We need, if someone criticizes us, don't view it. Don't view it as a criticism. Don't view the criticism as an attack on you. In the Baruch Shem Kivod, let's bring the Malchus of Hashem. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. Let's say it out loud. When do we say it out loud? Yom Kippur, when there's clarity. When Hashem is in front of us. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. Let us build the Akhtos. Let us learn from Menashe and Ephraim. Let us realize that we're all together. Even in this Golus, we have the greatness, the potential. Let us reach back with our tefillahs like a keshes and pull back and channel everything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek. Let us take all the lessons that we learned from Parshas Bereishis, Maisa Avos Simen Labanim, and apply it to our lives and realize that even if we have hardships and we have hard times, Hashem loves us. Hashem wants our tefillahs, and Hashem wants us to keep on growing and growing.